各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早晨好。今天是2019年5月25日，星期六。我们今天又非常的荣幸的邀请到了我们敬爱的萨迦迪瓦法布，我们继续讲述今天的圣典不加瓦坛的早课，敬请聆听。哈利·克什纳。
Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees in China.
中国所有的奉献者，大家早晨好。
Please accept my humble obeisances.
请接受我非常谦卑的顶拜。
All glories to Prabhupada. So last week was the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev, so we discussed the Lord's appearance.
上一周呢是主尼辛哈德的显现日，所以呢我们就探讨的是关于主尼辛哈德显现的话题。
And today we will resume our reading, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 2.
Okay, 那我们今天要阅读的呢是圣典不加瓦坛第六章的第二圣典不加瓦坛第六篇的第二章。
And the title of this chapter is Ajamil Delivered by the Vishnu Dutas.
这一章的题目是 Vishnu 的使者拯救阿加缪。
And today we are on text 20.
今天我们阅读的诗节是第二十诗节。
But before that, I will chant Jaya Radha Madhava.
但是在之前呢，我要先来唱诵一下 Jaya Radha Madhava。
So here we go.
好，我们现在开始。
Jaya Radha Madhava.Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivana Dari Yasura Nandana Braja Janurajana Yasura Nandana Braja Janurajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivana Dari Gopi Jana Balabha Girivana Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarajana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarajana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarajana Yasoda Nandana Braja Janarajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gopi Mananda Hari Hari Bo.
Hari Hari Bo.
Okay, so text 20 does not have a purport, so we'll read probably text 20 and 21, maybe even 22.
因为今天的这个世节，第二十世节没有要旨，所以我们可能还会接着读二十一和第二十二世节。
So in this section of the Bhagavatam, the all the verses up till now were spoken by the Vishnu Dutas to the Yama Dutas.
所以在圣典般若波罗蜜的就这一部分的这些世节，到现在为止呢，我们都讲的是Vishnu Duta 在向 Yama Duta 在讲述。
In the previous chapter, the Yama Dutas were speaking to the Vishnu Dutas.
在之前的这个之节呢，世节之前的那一章呢，是 Yama Duta 在向 Vishnu Duta 在讲述。
Yeah, Ajamil was just about to die, and just as he was dying, the Yama Dutas appeared and they bound his subtle body with ropes.And they were about to drag him out of his physical body and take him to hell.
Ajamil 就在临死之前的时候，Yamaduta 就来到他的面前，并且呢用绳子绑住了他的精微躯体，就要把他从他的精微躯体拽出他的这个物质躯体，然后呢要把他给送到地狱去了。
Now, sometimes people before they die, their vision changes and they can begin to see the subtle world even though they're still in their material body.
有的时候当人在即将离世的时候呢，他的这个视域就发生了变化。即便他还在这个物质世界，但是他就能够看到一个更加精微的世界的展示。
So Ajamil, he hadn't died yet, but he saw...The Yama Dutas coming to get him, and he was terrified.
So Yama Duta, 虽然他还没有死，但是他这会儿呢就能够看到 Yama Duta, Ajamil 他这会儿还没有死，但是呢他能够看到 Yama Duta 来拉他了，所以他就觉得很害怕。
And just as the Yama Dutas were about to snatch the soul of Ajamil and take him out of his material body. Right at that moment, he called out to his son, Narayan, for help.
但是就在 Yamaduta 要把他从他的这个身体里面拽出来那一刻，他就突然之间就呼唤出了他的儿子 Narayan 来救他。
And simultaneously,The Vishnu Dutas appeared and they stopped the Yama Dutas from taking the soul of Ajamil.
就在这同一刻呢 ,Vishnu Duta 就出现了，并且呢阻止 Yama Duta 把 Ajamil 的这个魂魄给拽出去。
And so the Vishnu Dutas, they challenged the Yama Dutas, why are you taking Ajamil? He is sinless.
亚马杜特就开始去就是向这个亚马杜特们就去挑衅，就是你为什么要阻止我们做这件事情呢？他是这么有罪的一个人。
And so the Yamadutas, they began to explain to the Vishnu Dutas the reasons why they were going to take Ajamil to hell.
然后亚马杜特呢就开始向 Vishnu Duta 就开始解释为什么他们一定要把阿加米尔给带到地狱去。
And then the Vishnu Dutas, they disagreed with the Yama Dutas' view of things.
那么 Vishnu Duta 呢，他们不同意 Yama Duta 的这些说法。
The Yama Dutas gave so many reasons to prove that Ajamil was a sinful person and therefore he should go to hell.
亚马杜特就给这个 Vishnu Duta 的一系列的原因，然后就证明阿加缪是一定要去地狱的。
And the Vishnu Dutas, they disagreed. They said, no, he chanted the name of Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he was dying. Therefore, all of his sins were forgiven.
Vishnu Duta 就不同意他们的这个说法，就说当他在临死的时候他唱出了至尊人格守身 Narayan 的名字，所以就凭这一点他所有的这些罪都被洗清了。
And basically in the last 19 verses they gave all the they explained the power of the chanting of the holy name, even the impure chanting of the holy name.
所以在之前的这十九世节里面呢，Vishnu Dutta 都在解释唱诵圣名的力量，即便是不纯粹的唱诵。
And one of the effects of what's called namabhas, or the impure chanting of the holy name, is liberation and freedom from sin.
Namabhas, 也就是不纯粹的念诵的其中的一个效果，就是能够净化灵魂，就是能够这个净化掉罪。
They explain that although Ajamiya wasn't chanting consciously the holy name of the Lord, at the same time, he wasn't offensive either.
他们就在解释说，阿加缪他虽然在念诵的时候是在一种无意识的、无知的状态下在念，但是呢，他的这个圣名的念诵呢，也是没有冒犯的念诵。
They said, Ajamiya, he wasn't chanting the name of the Lord with the intention of becoming freed of sins.
他说呢，阿加缪他并没有是有意识的，让自己 become without, sorry, the last part we say just now.
He wasn't chanting the holy name with the intention to become free. He wasn't trying to become free of sins by chanting the holy name.
对，他就说呢，这个阿加缪呢，他并不是说是有意要通过念唱诵，然后让自己摆脱这些罪的。
Yeah, that wasn't his motivation.
因为那个并不是他的动机。
Therefore, he was innocently chanting.
所以说呢，他是在一种无辜的状态下唱诵的。
And then finally, their final statement to the Yamadutas was that even if one doesn't understand the potency of a particular medicine, if you take the medicine, whether you understand how the medicine works or not, that medicine can cure you.
So Yamadutta, 他们这个 Vishnu Dutta, 他们最后的这个结论就是。即便是你不知道这个药的效力所在，但是呢你吃了这个药呢依然还是会对这个病症起效的。
And they said similarly, one may understand the value of chanting the holy name, or one may not. Either way, the chanting will be effective.
对，同样呢一个人他也许知道唱诵的力量所在，也许可能他不知道这个唱诵的力量所在，但是呢，这个唱诵本身它都会起到同样的效果。
So that's where we are in the story now.
对，这个是我们目前为止故事讲到的这个部分。
So now we'll chant the Sanskrit to verse 20.
所以现在呢，我来念第二十诗节的梵文。
And then we'll do the word for word in translation.
然后呢，我们再来进行字对字和译文。
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 And then I'll chant the Sanskrit. Shri Suka Uvacha Ta Evam Suvini Ninya Dharmam Bhagavatam Ripa Tam Yamya Pasan Nirmucha Vipram Mrityor Amumuchan Shri Suka Uvacha
Shri Sukha Uvacha.
Shri Sukadeva Goswami said.
Shri Sukadeva Goswami 说
Te.
Te.
They. And order, the order carriers of Vishnu.
他们主 Vishnu 的使命的传递者
Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
因而
Souvenir Niya.
Souvenir Niya.
Perfectly ascertaining.
完好的查明.
Dharmam.
Dharmam.
real religion.
真正的宗教。
Bhagavatam.
Bhagavatam.
In terms of devotional service.
就奉爱服务来说。
Nripa.
Nripa.
O king.
O 王啊。
Tvam.
Tvam.
Him.
他。
Ajamila. Oh, that's Ajam. Tvam is referring to Ajamil.
刚才那个他指的是阿加缪。
Yamya Pasat.
Yamya Pasat.
From the bondage of the order carriers of Yamaraj.
从 Yamaraj 的命令执行官的捆缚中。
Nimucha.
Nimucha.
Releasing.
释放。
Vipram.
Vipram.
The Brahmana.
婆罗门。
Mrityo.
Mrityo.
From death.
从死亡。
Amumuchan.
Amumuchan.
Rescued.
救赎，拯救。
Translation, Sri Sukadev Goswami said, My dear king, having thus perfectly judged the principles of devotional service, with reasoning and arguments, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu release the Brahmana Ajamil from the bondage of the Yamadutas and saved him from imminent death.
译文，圣 Shukadeva Goswami 继续说，亲爱的君王，主 Vishnu 的命令执行官这样用推理和辩论的方法对奉爱服务的原则做出了完美的评定后，就为被阎罗王的仆人捆绑住的 Brahmana 阿加米尔松绑，将他从死亡线上救了下来。
So Sri Sukadeva Goswami is actually telling the story of Ajamil to King Parikshit.
此时呢，是 Sukadeva Goswami 在向 Parikshit 王讲述关于阿加米尔的故事。
And so now he's describing that the Vishnu Dutas.And they've stopped speaking.
所以他现在解释呢 ,Vishnu Dutta 停止讲话。
And they had explained the power of devotional service, and they gave many reasonable arguments.
他们一直呢在讲述关于奉献服务的力量所在，而且呢他们给了很多合乎情理的论点。
So you can just imagine the Yamadutas were here listening to this.
那所以我们可以想象一下 Yamaduta 他们听了这个话以后的反应。
Yeah, and just before the Vishnu Dutas had appeared, the Yamadutas had bound Ajamil with ropes. His subtle body, they had bound him up.
就在 Vishnu Dutta 显现之前，Yamaduta 们已经把阿加缪的精微躯体已经给绑住了。
So during this whole conversation, first the Yamadutas are speaking, now the Vishnudutas are speaking. During this whole time, Ajamil is in the middle and he's tied up with ropes and he's listening to both of them.
所以我们在这个故事整个的这个进展的这个目前为止呢，都是开始是Yamaduta 在讲述。后来呢是 Vishnu Dutta 在讲述，那么整个这段时间呢，阿加缪呢就被绑在那儿，然后呢左看看右看看，在听他们两人在讲话。
You can just imagine how he felt. He didn't know what was going to happen.
那所以我们可以想象一下阿加缪他当时的感受是什么，他并不知道在发生什么事情。
In fact, the whole time he was bound by ropes, so he was probably thinking, I'm finished.
因为在整个这个过程中呢，他都是被这个绳子绑着的，所以他在想，我肯定是完蛋了。
But now, when the Vishnudutas finished talking, they cut the ropes that bound Ajamil and they set him free.
但是这会儿，当 Vishnudutta 讲完话以后呢，他们就把这个绳子呢给剪断了，所以呢就把他给放了出来。
Yeah, so he was supposed to die, but he didn't die.
所以阿加缪他本来是要死的，可是他这会儿没死。
He's still in his physical body.
所以他依然还在他的物质的躯体里面。
So he's surprised, and so are the Yamadutas. They're everyone surprised.
所以他自己呢就觉得很惊讶。那么这些 Yamaduta 们呢也觉得很惊讶，所有的人都被惊住了。
Okay, now we'll read text 21.
那我们现在呢接着读第二十一十节。
Iti pratyudita yamya duta yavat yamanikam.Yama Ragne Yata Sarvam Achachakshur Parindama Iti thus.
Iti, 因此
Pratyudita.
Pratyudita.
Having been replied to by the order carriers of Vishnu,
已经被回答了被、Vishnu Duta 的命令执行官
Yamya
Yamya
The servants of Yamaraj
Yamaraj 的仆人
Duta
Duta
The messengers
信使、
Yatva
Yatva
Going
将
Yama Antikam
Yama Antikam
To the abode of Yamaraj
去主 Yamaraj 的居所。
Yamaragne.
Yamaragne.
Unto King Yamaraj.
对 Yamaraj 王，对阎罗王。
Yata.
Yata.
Duly.
当适当的。
That must be hard to translate.
Yeah, what is it? No, the contact. Sorry.
Sarvam, everything.
Sarvam, 一切
Achachakshu.
Achachakshu.
Informed in full detail.
并告知所有的细节
Arindama.
Arindama.
O subduer of the enemies.
O 敌人
Translation.And purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, O subduer of the enemies, after the servants of Yamaraj had been answered by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, they went to Yamaraj and explained to him everything that had happened.
译文和要旨由 Srila Prabhupada 提供。译文，我亲爱的 Parikshita 王，所向无敌的人呐。阎罗王的仆人们得到主 Vishnu 的命令执行官的回答后去找阎罗王对他解释所发生的一切。I'm supposed to read this purport, right?
Yeah, I'll read the purport too.
Okay.
But we'll do sentence by sentence. And then I'll let you read it.
Okay.
In this verse, the word pratyudita is very significant. The servants of Yamaraj are so powerful that they can never be hindered anywhere. But this time, they were baffled and disappointed in their attempts to take away a man they considered sinful. Therefore, they immediately returned to Yamaraj and described to him everything that had happened.
要旨在这节释文中已得到回答、Pratyudita 一词十分的重要。阎罗王的仆人们 极其强大有力，在任何地方都没有受到过阻挠，但这次却被阻止了，没能将他们的认为的罪恶之人带走。为此他们立刻回到阎罗王的身边，对他描述所发生的一切。
So it appears from this verse that the Yamadutas were the first ones to leave the scene.
所以通过这解释呢我们可以知道Yamaduta 他们是首先一批离开这个场景的人。
Yeah, the Vishnudutas had stopped the Yamadutas and they had freed Ajamil. They cut the ropes and he was free.
那么这些 Vishnuduta 呢他们阻止了 Yamaduta 并且呢把这个 Ajamil 给释放了。
And so the servants of Yamaraj, they returned to Yamaloka to describe what had happened to Yamaraj.
所以呢，亚玛都他们，他们就回到了亚玛洛卡，也就是阎罗王所住的这个地方，并且呢，向他去汇报所发生的一切。
Yeah. So they had never a business before. They have jurisdiction over all.
那他们之前在办理公务的时候呢，从来就没有被阻止过，因为他们拿着要去惩戒人的这个训令，所以说呢，没有谁能够阻止他们。
So I can imagine that the Yamadutas had some mixed feelings.
所以呢，我现在觉得呢，这些亚玛都他们，他们就有一种五味杂陈的感受。
I would say they're a little confused and a little frustrated.
那我觉得呢，他们肯定是有点困惑，而且呢也很沮丧。
I mean, they're used to being fully in full control, right? And now they, someone was more powerful than they were.
因为他们之前呢是一切都在他们的掌控之中的，可是现在呢，他们却遇到了比他们更加强大的对手。
And indirectly, someone was more powerful than their master Yamaraj.
那也就是说呢，有比他们的主子更强大的主子。
And Prabhupada says here that actually the Yamadutas were feeling very disappointed.
那么释迦牟尼佛在这里面解释呢，就是 Yamaduta 他们觉得非常的失望。
Yeah, so.Usually, when someone is used to being in control and suddenly they're no longer in control, there's frustration and disappointment.
那么通常来说，当一个人他一直处在控制的状态下，但是忽然之间他失控了以后呢，他就会觉得非常的沮丧，而且会感到很失望。
嗯。And they must be wondering why. In their estimation, you know, they're.Yamaraj was the most powerful, so now they're wondering, is Yamaraj really the most powerful?
因为他们一直呢都会觉得 Yamaraj 是最强大的，可是现在这会儿他们可能就会觉得困惑了，难道 Yamaraj 真的是那个最强大的人吗？
Yeah, so they're having some doubts about Yamaraj, and they're also doubting their own service.
所以呢，他们就对 Yamaraj 以及对他们自己所做的这个服务都会产生了怀疑。
And so it's in this mood that they're going to talk to Yamaraj.
所以呢，他们就怀着这样的一种心情去和 Yamaraj 去交谈了。
So this is important to remember because later on, I think maybe in the to be questioning their master Yamaraj as to, you know, who's really in charge here.
所以呢，就是我们这一点呢要记住，这是很重要的，因为下一章就会牵扯到一个问题，就是Yamaduta 他们会去询问 Yamaraj 到底谁是最强大的那个主人。
And so we also have to remember the larger context that this story is taking place.
而且呢，我们还要记住，就是这个故事它所发生的更加的广大的这么一个背景。
Especially in cantos 6, 7, and 8, the theme of these cantos is how the Lord gives protection to his devotees.
圣殿博迦瓦坛第六、第七和第八篇所讲述的都是主如何去保护他的奉献者。
Right, so no one can supersede the will of the Lord.
所以说没有谁能够掌控主的愿望。
And so if the Lord wants to protect someone, no one can touch that person.
所以如果主想要保护某人的话，没人碰。
By God's Amil.
即便是像阿加缪这样的人。
He took shelter of the Lord's name unknowingly.
他是在不知晓的一种情况。
So, what is the position of someone who knowingly takes shelter of the holy name of the Lord? How protected are they?
所以想象一下，如果一个人他是在知晓的情况下托庇于主的圣名的话，那他们会受到怎样的保护呢？
So normally, the Yamadutas, no one can stop them from taking that soul and their subtle body and dragging them to hell.
通常来说，当Yamaduta 把魂魄给从物质躯体里面给拽出来，并且把它给带到地狱的这件事情是没有人能够阻止的。
But one who's taken shelter of the Lord, he's not in the jurisdiction of the Yamadutas anymore.
但是当一个人他托庇在了主的圣名之下的时候，他就再也不受亚玛都塔的掌控了。
In fact, normally, our material body, this mind and material body is simply a result of our past previous karma.
那么事实上我们的这具躯体呢，通常来说是我们之前的业报的结果。
Which is pretty much going on mechanically according to the laws of nature.
所以呢它是根据这个自然的这个定律而进行的一种机械的运转。
Right, our body is born at a particular time.
比如说我们的身体呢会在一个特定的时间降生。
Independent life begins with our first breath.
然后呢我们有了第一次呼吸，我们的这个需要依靠别人的一个生活就开始了。
And according to the...
Sorry, I say, you mean independent life started from the first breath, right?
Right.
Okay, sorry, I translate wrong. 对不起，我刚才说错了。就是随着我们的这个第一次呼吸，我们自己的这个生命就开始了。
Right, I mean, when we're, initially when the baby comes out of the womb, it may not be breathing.
所以在最开始，当这个宝宝从子宫里面降生的时候呢，它是没有呼吸的。
And the body of the baby, is still receiving blood and oxygen from the mother.
因为当时呢，就是这个婴儿的这个躯体呢，它依然还是从母亲那里吸收血和营养。
In fact, if you touch the umbilical cord, it's quite rigid.
所以如果要是你去摸这个脐带的话，它还是很硬的那种状态。
And it actually has a pulse. You can feel the blood pumping through the umbilical cord to the baby, by the mother's heart.
然后这时候呢，你可以感受到这个脉搏，那么这个血从母亲的这个心脏通过脐带流淌出来，然后呢就流进了这个宝宝的婴儿的这个身体里面。
However, it appears miraculous, but of course it's following some physical law. As soon as the baby takes its first breath, the umbilical cord becomes limp.And the baby's heart begins to circulate the blood within its body.
但是呢这个看起来呢好像是就是挺奇迹般的一种现象，但实际上呢它是一种这个遵循物理的规律的一个状态，就是当这个孩子他一开始有第一次呼吸以后呢，那么这个脐带呢它就不运动了。那然后呢这个小孩儿他就可以根据自己的这个心脏去循环产生血。
And so, as soon as the baby takes its first breath, it no longer is receiving blood and oxygen, from the mother.
所以说呢当这个婴儿他有了第一口呼吸之后，他就不会再从他的母亲那里去得到血和氧气的供应了。
So we call that independent life. That's okay. Time has started right now. Your life has begun.
那所以呢，我们就把这个给称为叫一个独立的生活，独立的生命就开始了。那所以现在呢，你可以开始自己的去进行你自己的这个生命了。
So based on that point in time, you know, astrologers calculate the chart, you know, of that particular living being.
嗯，所以呢，就是根据这个时间的开始，而使得这个星象专家他们开始为这个新的这个生命来算他的这个星象的星盘的。
So according to our karma, this body begins with this first breath.
所以根据我们的业报呢，我们的这个生命呢是从我们的第一次呼吸开始的。
And then when the karma of this body comes to an end, there's a last breath.
那所以当这个业报它都结束了以后呢，就有了最后一，就开始是第一个吸气，完了有一个最后的这个呼气就结束了。
So that's already predetermined, really.
那么所以这些事情呢，都是在之前都已经定好了的。
However, that can be changed.
但是这是可以被改变的。
Ajahn Mill, according to his karma, he was supposed to die.
根据阿加米尔的业报，他本来是应该死的。
Yeah.
但是现在他的这个生命呢被延长了。
This means that the devotee's life, when one is chanting the holy name of the Lord even once, is no under the normal law of karma.
所以说呢，这个奉献者的生命，当他开始去念诵主的圣名的时候，哪怕只念诵了一遍，他这会儿就已经不在业报的定律的管控之下了。
Yeah, so that's, this is apparent in this story because Ajahn Mill, he was supposed to die, yet his life now is being extended.
所以这也就是在这个故事里面所发生的事情。阿加缪他本来是要死了，但是现在呢，他的生命却被延长了。
He was supposed to go to hell, but he didn't.
而且呢，他本来是要去地狱的，可是他没去。
This is all because he chanted the holy name of the Lord even unknowingly.
这一切呢都是由于他念诵了主的名字，即便是在不知情的情况下去念的。
So this has important implications for us who are chanting the Lord with faith knowingly.
所以这对于我们来说呢，点就是让我们知道就是在不知情的情况下去念诵主的圣名也是很有力量的。
Yeah, even though our chanting may not be perfected yet.
那么即便是我们的这个念诵呢还没有达到完美。
We're under the Lord's protection.
但是呢已经是处在主的保护之下了。
Now, Yudhisthira, originally, this story is being told by Well, this story originally is being told by Narada Muni to Yudhisthira.
那么最开始的时候，这个故事是由 Narada Muni 向 Yudhisthira 王讲述的。
Which before that, is being told by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikit to make a certain point.
但是在这之前呢，是由Sukadeva Goswami。对帕克西特王所讲述的，而且呢是要进行 to make several. Sorry, who tell the story first?
Well, the whole story began, or the conversation began between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikit.
就是整个的这个对话呢，是在 Sukadeva Goswami 和 Parikshita 王之间最先展开的。
Sukadeva Goswami explained the hellish planets and all the all the different hells there are for all the different types of sins there are.
因为在第五篇的时候呢 ，Sukadeva Goswami 就在讲述所有的这些这个。 啊、地狱星球都有哪些，而且在这个地方的地狱的境况是怎么样的，而且呢在这里面有多少的罪。
So, Bricket Maharaj, after he heard the description of the hellish planets, he felt sorry, he felt great compassion for all the sinful living entities that have to go suffer in hell.
所以当帕克希特王听到了对地狱星宿的这些描述之后呢，他就对啊、这些罪恶的灵魂充满了怜悯之情，因为他就觉得他们要上这个地方去受苦是很让他痛心的一件事情。
So he asked Sukadeva Goswami, you know, how can sinful living beings be saved from going to hell?
所以呢，他就询问 Sukadeva Goswami, 如何去解救这些罪恶的生物体，而不让他们到地狱去受苦。
So actually, Sukadeva Goswami, he wanted to test Bricket Maharaj.
事实上 ,Sukadeva Goswami 呢他想测试一下帕克希特王。
So first he answered, he said, well, if in the only way a sinful living entity can avoid going to hell is if he repents for his sins before he dies.
那么首先他说呢，就是如果这些这个生物体，这些有罪的这些生物体，如果他们真的要是不去这个地狱受苦的方法，就是在他们死之前呢，他们必须要先要去赎罪，要去这个忏悔。
And the only way a person can repent for their sins before they die is to follow some Vedic sacrifice.
而这个人他在死之前去忏悔赎罪的唯一的方法就是去做一些韦达所提供的祭祀的方法。
This is called karma kanda.
那么这个被称为叫 karma kanda.
Just like if you commit adultery.
Sorry, just like you commit what?
If you commit the sin of adultery.
OK, 那么就是比如说如果你要是这个犯了去强奸罪。
Right. You have to go suffer in hell in your next, you know, before your next.
所以说这样的话呢，你就在下一次出生之前呢，首先要到地狱里面先去受苦。
But according to the karma kanda, if you follow that, you can perform some sacrifice to counteract that sinful reaction so that you don't have to go to hell.
但是根据业报支部 karma kanda 呢，在你这个临死之前呢，你就可以去做一些事情，然后呢去忏悔你这个罪，然后这样你就不会去地狱了。
So when Bricket Maharaj heard this answer from Sukadeva Goswami, he wasn't very happy.
所以当Sukadeva Goswami, Parkshita王听到 Sukadeva Goswami 讲的这些话以后呢，他不是特别的开心。
And in fact, he argued with his guru.
事实上呢，他就和他的guru进行了一番辩论。
He says, "What's the point if a thief pays the price for stealing something? He will just steal again in the future because he still has a tendency to steal. So what's the point?"
他说呢，就是一个贼，他如果要是为他偷东西这件事情付出了一个代价的话，那么他其实还是依然有偷窃的这个倾向在，所以他下次呢他还是会偷的。
Yeah, so he said, even if a sinful person atones for their sin, if they still have the tendency to sin, then they'll commit sins in the future. So how are they ever going to become free?
所以呢他就说，如果是一个人他要是有这种犯罪的这种倾向，即便是他为他的这个罪赎罪了去进行了一些忏悔，但是呢他依然还会下次有这个在这个倾向的这个趋势之下继续去犯罪，所以他什么时候才能够真正的得到解脱呢？
So Sukadeva Goswami, when he heard this reply from Bricket Maharaj, he was very happy and he smiled.
当 Sukadeva Goswami 听到 Prakshita 王的这个回答之后呢，他很开心，他就笑了。
He said, "You know, actually, you're right."
他说呢，其实你是对的。
And then he began to tell this story of Ajamil.
然后呢他就开始讲阿加缪的故事了。
So that's how we started hearing the story. But he told a story first. He said that at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhisthira, he asked a similar question to Narada Muni.
所以呢他就开始讲这个故事。但是他在讲这个故事之前呢他就说在这个做 Rajasuya 就是马祭的这个祭祀的这个时候 Yudhisthira 王向 Narada Muni 讲了问了同样的一个问题。
Because he saw that Shishupal, who was a very envious person, he was killed by Krishna, but then he got liberation, and he thought, this is not fair. There's so many demons out there. They have to go to hell. Why is it that Shishupal gets liberation?
因为呢他看到这个 Shishupal 呢他是一个充满了嫉妒之心的人。那么后来呢他就被 Krishna 给杀了。但杀了以后呢他这个得到了这个救赎所以呢他就觉得这是一件非常的不公平的一件事情。他说呢有那么多的恶魔这些恶魔呢都应该去到地狱里面。那么为什么修士宝他就能够得到解脱得到救赎呢
So the short answer is, 修士宝 even though he was envious of Krishna, he was absorbed in thinking of Krishna.
那么这个简单的答案就是虽然修士宝他非常的嫉妒 Krishna,但是呢他始终都让自己处在一个对 Krishna 的冥想的状态之中。
And so the, really, the teaching is that whoever is in contact with Krishna, whether they are pure or impure, they become purified.
所以就意味着任何一个接触到 Krishna 的人无论他是一个纯粹的人还是不纯粹的人那么当他和 Krishna 相接触了以后呢他都会得到净化。
Yeah, just like there's that verse from, I think it's the Vishnu Purana. It's whether pure or impure, or is it? I can't find it in my list. Om apavito apavito va.Sarva Vashtam Gatopiva Yasmade Pundari Kaksham Sri Vishnu what is it? Suchihi I'll have to look it up. Anyway, it says that one may be in any condition of life. He may be pure in a pure condition or an impure condition.
Maharaj 刚才找在这个《Vishnu 往事书》里面的一个师姐，那么这里面就讲到呢，一个人呢，他是处在一个受条件限制的这个生活的状态下，无论他是纯粹的还是不纯粹的。
Oh yeah, Om Avitra Pavitra Va Sarva Vastam Gatopi Va Yasmare Pundarikaksham Sabayantara Suchi. Krishna, he's called Pundarikaksham.
Krishna 被称为叫 Puntarikaksham.
Yeah, it means the one who has lotus-like eyes.
也就意味这个意思是一个有着莲花眼的人。
So either pure or impure.
无论是纯粹还是不纯粹。
Whatever your condition is in life, material life.
无论你处在物质生活中的怎样一种状态下。
If one happens to remember the lotus-eyed Krishna,
如果一个人他恰巧记住了 Krishna 的莲花眼
he becomes externally and internally clean.
他的内在和外在都变得干净了
yeah, So that was the situation for Shishupal.
所以呢，这就是 Shishupal 的状况。
Of course, in the larger context, you know, he's Jai and Vijay from the spiritual world, and they were just part of the Lord's Leela.
但是呢，我们要是从更远的这个场景来说呢，虚实法他其实是瓦昆塔的看门人加耶维加耶中的一个。他之所以有这样的一个表现呢，只不过是 Krishna 的 Leela 的一个显现而已。
Yeah, so Yudhisthira's I kind of complaint was that he says it appears that the Lord is, you know, partial to some, but not to others, and the Lord has to be impartial.
那么 Yudhishthir 他在这里面想阐述的观点就是，这看起来主好像是偏心，他对有些人好，那么对另外一些人呢，可能又没有这样的偏心的对待。
嗯，
说主呢应该是平等的对待所有的人的。
But then by telling then Narada Muni to Yudhishthir also told the story of Ajamya, and that's how we're hearing the story of Ajamya.
嗯，所以说呢，就是在讲这个故事的这个时候呢，这个 Narada Muni 呢也向 Park 也向 Yudhishthir 王讲述了阿加缪的这个故事。那就是为什么我们现在会听到这段故事。
And so the point is that actually the Lord is impartial.
嗯，那么这个要点就是主他其实是不偏心的。
At the same time, if one approaches the Lord somehow or other.Then he's personally protected by the Lord.
但与此同时呢，如果一个人他无论是通过哪样的方法，他去和主有了这种接触的话，那么他就会被主亲身的去照顾。
And we have the verse in Bhagavad Gita where the Lord explains how he is equal but not so equal.
然后呢，在博迦瓦塔，那在博迦梵歌里面呢。主也在一些诗节里面就解释了他怎么会又平等又不平等。
Actually, he's equal, but he's also partial.
那所以说呢，他其实他是平等的，但是他也有偏心。
He's partial to those who love him.
他对那些爱他的人，他还是偏心的。
So we find this description in chapter 9, verse 29 of Bhagavad Gita.
所以呢，我们在《博迦梵歌》的第九章的第二十九诗节看到这里。
Do you have a Bhagavad Gita, Donna Kaylee?
Yes, I do. I do. And I got this verse, chapter 9, verse number 29.
Right.
Yes, read with me.
Okay. Samaham sarvabhuteshu namedvesho stinapriya.ये भजन्ते तमं भक्त्या मयेते तेषु चाप्यहम् Now Krishna says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend and is in me, and I am also a friend to him.
其实博迦梵歌的第九章的第二十九诗节，我不嫉妒。也不偏袒，对一切众生我都平等对待，但谁为我做奉献服务，谁就是我的朋友，谁就在我之中，我也是他的朋友。
Yeah, so normally, you know, karma is just being acted out by the modes of material nature in an equal but impersonal fashion.
那么通常来说呢，这个karma 呢，它就是在物质三形态的影响之下，根据每个人的特定的这个影响而产生的。
But and or normally, according to his karma, Ajamil, he should have died and gone to hell.
那么，所以如果是根据阿加缪的这个业报呢，他现在已经应该死了，而且呢，应该去地狱了。
And the Yamadutas would have taken him to Yamaraj.
而且呢，亚摩都塔呢也已经会把他给带到阎罗王那里去了。
But now the Yamadutas they had to return to Yamaraj, depressed, dejected, and empty-handed.
但是现在这会儿呢，这个亚摩都塔们他们只能空着手，非常沮丧的，非常的这个就是。无奈的一种状态下回到 Yamaraj 的身边去。
And apparently, Ajamil is still in his material body.
而且显然 Ajamil 依然还在他的物质躯体里面。
He's still alive.
他依然还活着。
And the Vishnu and the Yamadutas have gone.
Yamaduta 已经走了。
And that's where we are in the story.
那这就是我们现在这个故事讲的这一部分。
So I'm anticipating there are a few questions, so I think I'll end here because I know we only have half an hour left.
Yeah, there are quite some questions.
Okay, so let's see if we can answer the questions before you and I both have to go.
Okay, okay. 所以呢，因为今天还有半个小时的这个时间，所以马尔说呢，先把这课呢，就讲课这部分就停到这儿，然后呢，现在开始回答大家的问题。So the first question is from Vansidas Shoridas Prabhu. 顶拜 Satyadeva Prabhu.当我们自我批评的时候，我们会感受到负面的能量。可是，当我们自我评价的时候，我们却会感受到正面的能量。请问两者的区别是什么？ Please accept my very humble obeisances. So my question is that when we do the self-criticism, we will feel the negative energy. However, when we just to do some self-evaluation or do some self-judgment, we actually can feel the positive energy. So my question is, what are the differences in between of the self-criticism and the self-evaluation?
Well, the self-criticism and feeling the negativity, that self-criticism is just coming from our false ego.
那么当我们感受到负面能量的这个自我批评呢，这个批评是来自于我们的假我的。
Yeah, and we can understand that because, you know, we're actually feeling afraid and ashamed and these negative feelings within the body and mind.
那么这会儿的时候其实我们是会能够感受到一种羞愧，然后呢 we feel shame and
fear and doubt.
对，我还会感到困惑，还会感到恐惧。那然后呢，就是这样的这些感受呢，也会让我们感受到我们身体里面的一些这个情绪上的感觉以及身体上的感觉。
Yeah, so the false ego develops when we're children.
这些假我呢，是在我们还是孩子的时候呢，就已经被培养出来了。
Yeah, and as little babies, when we don't get our needs met, we interpret those events.
所以呢，当我们还是一个小孩的时候，如果我们要是不能够得到我们所需求的那些东西的时候，我们就会对当时的那个情景会进行一些就会一些去理解它是一种什么样的状况。
Yeah, or even sometimes even while we're still in the womb before we're born, a lot of horrible things happen to us.
有的时候就当我们还在妈妈的子宫里面的时候，就已经发生很多很可怕的事情。
Yeah, your parents might be arguing, you know. The father may be saying, you know, why did you get pregnant? We don't need another child.
爹妈呢可能就会争吵，然后爸爸就会问妈妈，你为什么又怀孕了？我们根本就不能再有一个孩子了。
Or the mom may be thinking, oh, why did I get pregnant? I don't want to have a child.
然后妈妈就会说，哎呀，我怎么会又怀孕了呢？我根本就不想再有孩子了。
Yeah, so the baby is feeling these vibrations.
所以呢，婴儿他是会感受到所有这些震动的。
Or even after we're born, maybe, you know, the baby, sometimes we're neglected or we don't get fed on time or our diaper's not changed on time or, you know, our parents are yelling and screaming and the baby is interpreting all of these events.
那所以呢，就当这个孩子生出来以后，有的时候他比如说没有满足他的需求，然后呢没有按时给他吃东西，然后该换尿布的时候呢也没有给他换尿布，爹妈在他面前吵架，那么这个作为这个婴儿，但是呢他其实会对所有的这些情景会有自己的理解的。
Yeah, so the story goes all the way back to our childhood.
所以呢所有的这些故事呢全部都要追溯到我们的童年时代。
Yeah, and the belief is I'm not good enough.
比如说我有一个深切的一个信念就是我不够好。
Nobody loves me.
没人爱我。
The world's a dangerous place.
这世界呢是一个非常的危险的地方。
I'm all alone.
我是孤独的。
Yeah, so once these limiting beliefs are programmed into our mind,
所以呢就 once we are,
once these negative beliefs are programmed into our mind,
okay, 所有的这些负面的这些信念啊认同啊深入到了我们的这个心意里面以后。
They kind of govern our life experience.
然后呢他们就一直会这样去坚守在我们的生命的体验之中。
And so a lot of the self-criticism we have are coming from this kind of mental program we have developed, you know, from our childhood. We're not conscious of it.
所以说呢很多的这些自我批评呢全部都来自于我们从童年时代就已经开始产生的这些这个模式。那么我们其实都没有意识到在做这些事情。
Yeah, but sometimes we can actually hear the voice of our parent, you know, criticizing us.
有的时候呢，我们在脑子里面都能够显现出，家长在责骂我们的这个声音。
Yeah, and so if we're present, we can, feel those thoughts and, you know, look at those thoughts and those feelings and know that it's coming from our own mental programming, our self-image.
但是如果我们要是让自己够处在当下的这种状态的话，那我们就可以更加好的去意识觉知到这些这个想法，然后比如说这些声音，那么然后我们就可以能够清晰的觉察到这些其实是来自于我们自己的那个心理的那个模式。
Yeah, but whether we're criticizing ourselves or criticizing someone else, it's always accompanied by a strong dislike, like I don't like myself or I don't like that person.
但是无论我们是在批评自己还是在批评别人，其实伴随着都是一个非常强烈的不喜欢，比如说我不喜欢我自己，然后不喜欢那个人。
Yeah, and there's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of hurt.
那么这里面呢有很多的悲伤，有很多的痛苦，有很多的伤害。
So that's very different than constructive self-criticism.
所以说呢OK, 所以呢这个就和这种有建设性的自我批评是非常的不一样的。
That's based on honest self-observation, where you're willing to admit you made a mistake. That's actual humility.
因为那个呢其实是处在一个非常清晰的有觉知的去承认我所具有的这个弱势是什么，我有哪些问题。那么这个呢其实是一种谦卑的表现。
And the feeling is very different.
而且感受呢也是非常的不一样的。
Actually, when we actually admit a mistake and we humbly take responsibility, there's actually a feeling of peace and relief.
而且呢就是当我们真正的去承认我们的错误，然后呢谦卑的去承认我要去为这件事情而负责的时候，此时你内心感受到的是一种平静平和的感觉。
Yeah, so, you know, when we're criticizing ourselves based on a false ego, there's usually a feeling of hate and dislike.
但是如果我们要是根据我们的假我去进行这种打压和批评的时候，我们会感受到的是不喜欢和憎恨。
But when we're self-situated and observing, you know, a mistake we made, then there's actual humility and a feeling of peace.
但是当我们自处的去观察我们所做的错事的时候，此时我们就会有一种谦卑的心态产生，而且呢，我们也会处在一个平衡。平祥和的状态。
Yeah, so ultimately, the false ego, it wants to be perfect because it believes that unless I'm perfect, I won't be loved, I won't survive.
终极来说呢，假我呢，他总是想让自己变得完美，因为 他相信如果是不完美的话，他就不会被爱，他就不会被爱。
And so it cannot admit a mistake, because that's compared to dying almost.
所以在这样的状态下呢，他就不能够去承认自己做错了事儿，因为如果是一旦承认自己做错事儿的话呢，就好像是要死了的感觉。
And so we see people that are very self-critical like that, they have a strong need to be right all the time.
所以说呢，就是那些总是在假我的状态下去进行自我批评的人，他就有一个非常强烈的总是要对的这种需求。
Yeah, so when we're critical of ourselves, we can kind of figure out where it's coming from by the feeling.
那么所以说呢，当我们去批评我们 ，when we critical ourselves, we can strongly feel that is from our feeling.
We can know where it's coming from. Is it coming from the self, or is it coming from the false self?
Okay.
We can know where it's coming from by the feeling.
Okay. 就是当我们再去对自我进行评判的时候，我们可以通过自己的感受去了解到这个评判到底是来自哪儿，到底是来自我们的真我还是来自于我们的假我。
Yeah, if you're simply admitting, your mistake, there'll be a feeling of humility and peace.
那如果你要是仅仅的是承认自己做错了这个事情的话，其实你是能够感受到这个谦卑和感受到平和的。
If you're criticizing yourself and you're afraid, you're doubtful, you're depressed, you're angry, you're hateful towards yourself or others, you know it's coming from theFalse self.
但是如果当你再去批评自己的时候，这会儿你要是觉得非常的迷茫，非常的困惑，然后呢会这个愤怒，会对自己以及对别人都产生这种愤怒感的话，那你就会发现这样的自我批评是应该来自于假我的。
So then what do you do?
所以这样的方式去区分。
You admit, oh, there's the false self.
然后你就会承认，哦，那有个假我。
And you feel the feelings of fear and doubt and hate.
那然后呢，你就去感受到这些这个恐惧感，困惑感。
Yeah, you look at it from presence, from right now.
那然后呢，你就可以从现在此时的这种状态，从当下去看。
So you notice the judging, the opposition you have towards yourself.
所以说呢，你就在注意到你自己所处在的一种状态。
But you admit it without opposition.
那就在这会儿的时候呢，其实就是你能够意识到你是在评判你自己，但是你注意到你自己在评判你自己。
Now you've come to equanimity or the transcendental platform.
当你注意到自己是这样的一种状态的时候呢，你就可以处在一种平静祥和的状态下了。
Okay, I hope that's helpful.
我希望这样的回答是很有意义。So the next question is from Bhagavati Mataji. 顶拜帕布，感谢您的讲课。请问奉献者和家人混餐，业报真的会混在一起吗？如果很难做到分餐，又该怎么办呢？ Please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you very much for your lecture. So my question is that, if we have our family members to have meals together,Actually, we cannot have the shared meal for each of us. We have to eat together. So in that case, if our karma will really be mixed together, because if we cannot have any way to separate the meals, what to do? You got it?
Not exactly. I mean, does that mean that she's...
Actually, I can explain to you. See, because we always have been told that we shouldn't touch the other's meals. Because when we touch the other's meals, our karma will be mixed together. We will get her karma, she will get my karma. Then that's why we have each our own meal. However, in China, the families that we always eat together,Say, all of the dishes has been presented on the table together. Everyone just put our chopstick in that dish and get our own bites. So that is a normal case in China. So she's asking, if that is the case, means about the karma of the whole family members will be mixed together. So what to do?
Well, basically, if you eat food that's not offered, there's karma.
实际上是这样的，就是如果要是我们在吃没有供奉过的食物的时候，就已经有业报了。
Right. So if you can offer food and your whole family eats it, then there's no karma.
even everyone just mixed to eat in the same dish together, right?
Well, yeah. Is it offered or not offered?
Okay. 就是说是这样的啊，就是说如果要是这个餐要是没有供奉的话，那么无论怎么吃，是分餐吃还是混餐吃，它都是有业报的。但是如果要是这顿餐要是被供奉了的话，即便是我们没有分餐吃，大家在一起这个混着吃的话，那也是没有业报的。
Right, Krishna says in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 13.
在《薄伽梵歌》的第三章的第十三十节。
Yajnai sishnashtina santo muchante sarvakil bisai bunjate te tugam papam ye pachantyatma karanat. Devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Otherwise, others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin.
这世界里面是这样说的，主的奉献者脱离各种罪恶，因为吃的食物已经事先供奉过。其他的人呢，则为了个人的感官享乐而备置食物，实际上吃的只是罪恶。
Yeah, so I don't know what much more I can say about that.
所以马尔说呢，就这一点，我没有再更多的可以说的了。So the next question from 老尼，既然寿命命中注定，为什么还要吃那么多保健品呢？也不会延长一秒。Since we have our destined length of the years of the life, why we still need to take those many healthy supplements? Because those won't extend over even 1 second of life.
That's a good question.
这是一个非常好的问题。
Well, at the same time, we do our best to take care of this body. That's our duty.
但是呢，与此同时呢，我们要尽力的去照顾好我们的躯体。
Right? Why wear a seatbelt when you get into the car?
对，这是我们的职责。也就是说呢，当我们坐到车里面以后呢，我们一定要先系上安全带。
Yeah, why wear a mask? You know, when you're around a bunch of other people.
当我们在和其他人在一起的时候呢，我们可能有时候也要戴口罩。
Or why take medicine if you have some health problems?
比如说我们在有这个病痛的时候呢，我们肯定要吃药。
Yeah, we do the best we can, you know, to sleep the body and feed the body and exercise the body, but ultimately the body, you know, has its karma.
那我们要尽力而为的去照顾好我们的这个躯体。在定时的时候给我们的这个身体要吃饭，然后呢要让这个身体呢也要睡好，所以呢，但是在最终来说呢，这个身体本身呢是有它的业报的。
Also, there's such a thing as quality of life.
而且还有一件这个说法就是生活质量的问题。
Yeah, so we're not only interested in, you know, prolonging life, but also the quality of life.
所以呢，我们不仅仅要感兴趣的一件事情呢，是去延长我们的生命，而且呢，我们也要注意我们的生活的质量。
Maybe your body is destined to die at 75.
也许可能你的这个 命中注定的是在75岁的时候死去。
But if you overeat,
但如果你要是吃的太多，
if you're always stressed out,
而且呢总是让自己处于紧张的状态，
you might have a heart attack or a stroke,
也许可能就会得心脏病或者是中风，
or kidney failure,
或者说呢这个肾你会衰竭，
or lung disease,
或者说会有肾病。
But still you'll live until 75, but you'll be miserable for maybe 20 or 30 years before you die.
但是呢就是在这样的这种病痛下呢，也许可能你也会活到75岁，但是呢可能是在二三十年的病痛中熬到75岁的。
So, you know, why take an umbrella when it's...
为什么不拿把雨伞呢？
So we do of life and the quality of life, but ultimately the body will die.
所以说呢，我们要竭尽所能的去照顾好我们的这个躯体，然后呢要珍视我们的这个躯体的生活的这个质量，但是终结来说呢，这个躯体是会死的。
Now, of course, the other side is that we shouldn't worry all the time or over-endeavor either.
但是从另外一个角度来讲呢，我们不应该就是过度的去想着这件事情，总是去考虑我们怎么去把我们的这个身体给照顾好。
Or just do things for the body because people say this or that. We should be informed, you know, scientifically and do what's the best.
或者说也不要就是人云亦云的去按别人跟我们说的你应该这么做或者那么做，而我们呢是应该很科学的去以最好的方式去照顾我们的躯体。
OK,
So the next question is from Sumuki Radhamalaji. 感恩Guru的精彩讲课，请问死前赎罪的情况是否也适用于奉献者呢？看到有些奉献者也在经历病痛的折磨，这是对自己过往业报的一种偿还吗？还是即便是奉献者被主赦免了罪业，也还是要承受物质世界必然的生老病死的折磨呢？历尽艰辛赎清所有罪行。 Beautiful lecture. My question is that if the devotee also need to repentance their sins before they pass awayBecause we can see many of the devotees, they are also suffer from the tortures of all kinds of disease. Is that a compensation for the past sinful reactions? Or even the sins has been removed by the Lord, they still need to go through the tortures in the material.Disease and old age. So is that true that we have to pass all of those difficulties and to clean all of our sins, then we can be eligible to go back to the Godhead?
Well, we're eligible to go back to Godhead when we're surrendered to the Lord.
事实上呢，当我们臣服于主的时候，我们就已经得到了回归属神的资格。
And so, our suffering in the material world is due to not accepting the will of the Lord. We resist the will of the Lord.
我们在物质世界之所以痛苦的原因呢，是因为我们没有接受主的意愿，我们在拒绝主的意愿。
Yeah, so the body is going to go through what it's going to go through.
那么这个躯体呢，它是要经历它本来就要经历的这些经历的。
However, the suffering is optional.
但是呢，这个受苦是可选择的。
If we think I'm this body,
如果我而觉得我是这具躯体，
and we resist what the body's going through.
而且呢，我也抗拒我这个身体所经历的事情。
That's the cause of our suffering.
那么这个呢，就会导致我们的痛苦。
But if we understand I'm not the body,
但是如果我要是理解到我不是这具躯体
I'm the eternal consciousness that comes from the Lord.
那么我是来自于主的那永恒的意识。
And that my existence and everything that exists depends on the will of the Lord.
而且呢我的存在以及一切的存在呢全部都来自于主的意愿。
Right? Then there's no more resistance, so there's no more suffering.
所以呢再有抗拒那当没有抗拒的时候呢也就不会再有受苦了。
It doesn't mean that there's no pain in the body.
但这并不意味着身体就不会疼。
But there's a big difference in our experience of pain. If we're resisting pain, then we suffer. And if we don't resist it, then we don't suffer so much.
但是呢，这个和我们之前所经历的这个身，就是这个痛苦的感受就非常的不一样了。那么当我们去抗拒这种痛苦的时候那我们就会感到非常的痛苦但是当我们没有去抗拒这种痛苦的时候我们就没有觉得那么苦了就不会觉得那么苦了
Yeah, so we have to have the attitude of a devotee
We have to have the attitude of the devotee
Yes, if we have the attitude of a devotee we don't suffer
那么这个奉献者呢他是有一种姿态有一种态度的当我们如果是处在奉献者所应该处在这种态度之下我们就不会受苦
And we're then qualified to go back to Godhead
然后这样我们就有资格去回到守神的身边了
And so the attitude of the devotee is taught to us by Lord Brahma in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam
在圣典不教法坛的第十篇里面呢主 Brahma 就告诉我们一个奉献者他所应该处的态度是如何的。
Yeah, we find this in the 10th canto, chapter 14, verse 8. This is a very famous verse.
那么这个是在圣典不教瓦坛第十篇第八章的 the 10th canto, which chapter?
Chapter 14.
Okay, 第十圣典不教法坛第十篇第十四章的第八十节，这是一个非常著名的十节。
Tatena kampam susumikshamano bhunjanevatmakritam vipakam Ridvagvapurvir vidadannamaste jivetiyo mukti padesa dayavak My dear Lord, do you have the translation there?
Now I have it.
Okay, then I'll read it and then you can translate it.
Okay.
My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow his causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances in his heart, words, and body, is surely eligible for liberation.Where it has become his rightful claim.
这是圣典不教瓦坛第十篇第十四章的第八十节译文。我亲爱的至尊主，谁真诚地等待您赐予没有缘故的仁慈，一直耐心地承受自己过去罪行招致的痛苦反应，同时用自己的身心和话语恭敬地向您致敬，谁无疑有资格获得解脱，因为。那已成为他的合法权利。
So the attitude of a devotee is that whatever this body and mind is going through is a result of our past previous karma.
因为奉献者他所需要的这个态度就是无论他的这个身体心意所经历怎样的感受那么全部都来自于他之前的业报的结果。
So the devotee's attitude is he takes responsibility for that.
所以说呢一个奉献者他所具备的态度就是他对会对这一切负责。
He doesn't blame others for his suffering.
所以呢他也不会为了他的痛苦而去指责其他的人。
And he also knows that the Lord is minimizing the reaction for him.
而且呢他也知道主呢是把他的这个业报的反应已经减到最低了。
So in this way, Viswanath Chakravarti explains in the purport that the devotee is actually not receiving sinful reactions anymore.
所以呢，学了 Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur 在这节式的要旨里面就解释了，你这样的这种 方式呢，使得奉献者就不会再接受新的业报反应。
Whatever reaction the mind and body is getting is personally being managed by the Lord to help the devotee surrender to Him and become qualified to go back to Godhead.
那么这个奉献者他在身心灵上所经受的所有这一切呢，全部都是由主为他安排的，以至于他能够更好的、更快的去到主的身边。
So as Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, B.R. Sridhar Maharaj said, he said, for the devotee, the environment is friendly. He doesn't see the environment as an enemy. He sees that actually everything is being arranged by the Lord to help him.
所以 Srila Prabhupada 的神兄弟 B.R. Sridhar Maharaj 就讲到了，他说一位奉献者他会认为他的周遭的这些环境呢都是对他有益的，他不会认为他周围的环境或者他所经历的任何的一切是对他充满了敌意的，因为所有的这一切全部都是主的一种安排，能够让他更好的去到主的身边。
So the devotee knows that there's nothing can happen independent of the will of the Lord. There's nothing in existence that occurswithout the Lord's will.
那么一位奉献者他就知道没有一件事情是不是在这个是不会是在这个主的意愿之外而发生的。
Yeah, so the devotee doesn't resist the will of the Lord, therefore he doesn't suffer.
There doesn't resist the will of the Lord, so he is not suffering.
Yes.
What I say, okay. 那么一位奉献者呢，他不会去抗拒主的意愿，因此呢，他也就不会再觉得痛苦了。
Right, if it's raining.
比如说下雨了。
And we don't like it.
我们不喜欢下雨。
And we complain to everyone. Oh, it's raining.
那我们呢就会和所有的人就会去抱怨，哎呀，下雨了。
We're resisting.
那么也就意味着我们是在抗拒。
Yeah, we're suffering.
那么我们就会受苦，就会感到痛苦。
And when we're suffering, we spread the suffering to others.
但是呢，当我们在感到很痛苦的时候呢，我们其实就把这个痛苦也就感染给了别人。
By complaining, right?
那么通过我们的抱怨。
But if you don't resist.
但是如果你要是不抗拒。
Oh, it's raining.
哦，下雨了。
I'll take an umbrella.
那我就拿把伞呗。
Oh, we need the water anyway.
我们反正也得需要水。
There's no suffering.
对，这会儿呢就没有苦了。
Yeah, so all the suffering is created in our own mind by resisting.
所以呢，所有的这些痛苦呢，全部都是由于我们的心意在拒绝，所以呢，由我们的心意所创造出来的。
But that doesn't mean that we don't take care of the body or grab an umbrella. It just, we see that.It's the resistance to what is that causes suffering.
但是呢，这并不意味着我们就不去照顾我们的躯体，然后下雨的时候我们也不打伞了。但是我们可以清晰的看到，我们痛苦的原因是因为我们对这个事情的抗拒，所以才会痛苦。
Unfortunately, we've run out of time.
所以很不幸的是，我们现在的时间用完了。
So if there are any questions, we'll have to continue next week.
Yeah. Let me see. One, two.Yeah, there were two long ones. 无论这个我们就是留下这个问题呢，故事说他下一周接着给大家回答。
So, I thank you for all your questions.
非常非常感谢大家的问题。所以呢，请大家一定要耐心，我们下一周接着讲。
And thank you for today, Donna Kaylee. I really appreciate your translating and Samukhi Radha for.Facilitating and all the devotees listening.
Yeah, 非常非常感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 为我们安排的这个设施，然后也非常感谢所有的奉献者的聆听。
All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada, and I'll see you next week.
一切荣耀都归于圣殿波迦瓦坦，一切荣耀都归于 Srila Prabhupada, 大家下周见。Hare Krishna, thank you so much.百昆特之音服务员聆听我们今天的早课呢就到此结束了，非常感谢 Satyadeva Prabhu 为我们的精彩讲述，感恩 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 为我们安排的这个平台， 感恩所有奉献者的聆听。祝大家在 Krishna 知觉之中度过一个美妙的周六。Hare Krishna。